Hello folks, hope you're well. This is Jim Carl saying hello and welcome you to the latest Bantercast, the weekly podcast from the team behind the Banter series of talks and events. At Banter, we put on events in spaces and venues of all shapes and sizes up and down the country. We do them in rooms, we do them in fields, we do them in tents, we do them in pubs. We invite a range of interesting people to come along to talk to us, to tell us their story and discuss various topics and themes. We record what happens in the room and then we podcast the results. We had a lively gang at Foxy John's for a Bring It All Back Home panel last year at Other Voices, where Justin Burgess from Bean & Dingle, Shane Finn from WK Fitness and Cormac Bedley from Art spoke about the business of being in business. They addressed a lot of issues, including the obstacles they faced setting up in West Kerry, the advantages that accrue to a business in a town like Dingle during the tourist season, and what happens outside the tourist season as well. Hi folks, welcome back to Banter here at Foxy John's. It's kind of funny, over the last 5 years we've been doing this thing. Most of the banters we do here are one-on-ones. It's me talking shite to someone, one person only. Normally at Banter, it's the banters we do back in Wigwam where we're based, they're normally kind of like panel discussions. And Molly decided it would be a good idea maybe we do a panel discussion. And she had a very specific idea in mind. And that idea was manifest itself in a thing called Bring It All Back Home, which is basically like, we're all here in Dingle this weekend. Like, normally the tourist season in Dingle runs during the summer. That's when people come down, they go out, they pat fungi on the head, they come back in, they have a nice meals at various restaurants around town. That's kind of like the normal Dingle vibe. But that's not really the normal Dingle vibe. The normal Dingle vibe is people like these three here. So what we did was we decided to invite three business people. I know I'm using the word business people, and I'm looking at you and I'm kind of going, yeah, to business people, that's who you are, whether you like it or not, to come along and talk about what it's like to run a business in Dingle. So I'm going to introduce all three of them, and we'll start talking then. It doesn't help that two of the panelists decided to wear the exact same Gansey and jacket, but that be that as may. So we start with, at the very, very end, we have Justin Burgess from Bean & Dingle. Next to Justin, we have Cormac Begley from Art, and finally, we have Shane Finn from WK Fitness. Please give them a round of applause. Let's start with you, Shane. Let's start with you. Talk to me about, like, being in Dingle, how long you've been in operation. Just give me the elevator pitch. Imagine this is Dragon's Den and these are all dragons going to give you some money. So give us the elevator pitch.
We own a specialty coffee shop just around the corner here. I've actually abandoned my brother there and there's a kind of a queue going out the door, so I'm a bit worried about how he's getting on. We opened up Being in Dingle about a year and a half ago. From the get-go, it's been brilliant ever since. It was a little bit of a risk. We were kind of a bit more of a... We wanted an urban-style coffee shop in the heart of Dingle, and we'd thought it'd go down well. So from the get-go, we had everything right, the layout, the ambience, the coffee that we chose. We chose a private blend from Badger & Dodo. We're the first company and the only company still to have a private blend from them. And with our techniques and everything, we thought we'd... really give it a shot, and I can't believe I'm sitting here actually talking to you, Jim. It's been a crazy year and a half, and just amazing, absolutely amazing.
Like, are you originally from Dingle?
No, originally from Oxford, clearly from my lovely Kerry accent.
So what drew you to the kingdom?
We moved 15 years ago as a family. We had cousins that had moved previous couple of years before that, and Mum and Dad came over for a holiday and just fell in love with the place and came back to England and said, we're moving to Dingle. And I was like, where's Dingle? And they were like, it's in Ireland. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let's go for it. Why not? So I'd say, and then within a couple of months, we had moved to Dingle. So, and okay, myself and my brother went to the secondary school and from first year. So we moved in 2002. And my sister went to Venture School. So she learned Irish and everything like that. So it's been great ever since. So.
Okay, excellent. Okay, so Cormac, you've been at Banter before. We know you from kind of like the music side of Banter. You've played here once or twice at Foxy John's. Tell us about Art, because I mean, some people in the audience may not know about that.
Art is a residential school. It's spelled AIRT. It's the Irish word for point on a compass, direction or guide. And we run courses throughout the year in every kind of discipline. We've music, singing, dancing. We've had knitting. We've had videography. Stonewall building. We'll have yoga, Pilates. You name it. And the idea is that people come to the Kerry, West Kerry Peninsula, and they spend time Próiste de Mórach, which is a parish 7 miles northwest of Dingle, and they stay in our house. They get fed by either my mother or Diarmaid Ling, who's there somewhere, and they get tuition from leading artists across all art forms. So we've the likes of Lisa O'Neill coming down, Liam O'Mahony, who else is there? This guy Ben Dowden, he's a videographer. That's what I do. Yeah, here back in West Kerry.
So. Okay. WK Fitness, give us the pitch on that.
Not as cultural as Cormac here, unfortunately. But I guess I have a very, very similar story to Justin. About 5 years ago, all I wanted to do was leave Dingle and get out of here, get out of Ireland. It was a kind of, I think, out of the group I did my leaving cert with, there might be 12 of us left out of about 80, actually, in Dingle, which is a sad statistic. But I was very, very lucky to meet my business partner, who also wanted to leave Dingle at the time, and we just came up with this idea, kind of like the guys, I guess, and we said we took a massive risk. When you look back at it now, it was a big risk. And we have a, just up the top of John Street, take a left, we have a 7,000 square foot training facility right in the middle of Dingle town. Not something that you see when you come to Dingle, it's not something you expect. It's been a fantastic journey so far. We're very, very different to your average gym. We're not exactly a gym, to be honest, we're more of a training facility. We train such a wide variety of people, from 14, 15-year-old kids to Kerry All-Star footballers to Irish triathletes, all the way up to 60, 70, and even 82-year-old people in our local community, which is all very, very exciting. Again, you know, it's the same as lads. I'm just blessed and grateful that we get to kind of live our passion every day, and you know, we get to stay here, which is fantastic. I suppose we quickly realise that weekends like this, what a massive impact that tourism has to your business in West Kerry. Something that we didn't think of in our business plan.
Okay, how does it have an impact? Shane, in terms of what you do, like, you know, if you're running a facility and like Justin's running a coffee shop and you're running kind of like Cormac, a kind of a residential studio. It strikes me, looking at all three businesses, you're not heavily tourist dependent. But like, I mean, does tourism drive your trade much?
Massively. During the summer is usually what they say is a quiet time for gyms and fitness facilities. But from end of May right through to the very end of August is our busiest time of the year. Is it some crazy 100? Some ridiculous amount of people that come onto the peninsula every summer. You'd be surprised the amount of people that actually want to do some kind of a training while they're in Dingle. So now our marketing actually changes during the summer. We market to people. There's a clever little thing I can do on Facebook, and I can market to people before they come to Dingle. They're aware of our facility. As well, a lot of people that have holiday homes. There's 2,200 and something holiday homes in West Kerry. All from people from Cork, Dublin, all over different parts of Ireland, and you know, they're all repeat business every summer. You know, we've got people from all over America that pop to Dingle. You know how much Americans love Dingle, and we love Americans in Dingle too. So, so you know, we've only this year we've kind of started to kind of hold on and reconnect to all our American visitors. They love Dingle. They love our facility. What we do. What we do is very Americanized. You know, we're very much so about the vibe and the culture and the kind of community within our place. So what we've started to do now, when they leave and go back home, we try and hold on to them. So we set up an online training company so that when the people leave Dingle and they miss it, we say, hey, look, here's a little part of Dingle if you want to get on board. So we've clients now in California, Pennsylvania, the UK, everything. So it's tourism is, I'm certain that we would not be still in business if it wasn't for tourism.
Right, okay.
I'll put it that way.
Right. So does the tourism business pay a part in terms of art?
It would. I think I'd say over 50% of the students come from abroad. I market at a thing called Mehel, which is on the RDS every year. It's for tour operators. It's kind of speed dating for the tourist industry. So you'd meet 40, 50 businesses who bring truckloads of tourists to Ireland, and you pitch to them. And many of them are interested in bringing specific courses. As a result of that, I had a group of 20 knitters come over from Canada.
20 knitters?
20 knitters, yeah. Yeah, so I've a few, they'll get return business from them. They're coming back again for 2 weeks next year. So that's how I market in that sphere as well as the local market, Irish market. And the way I kind of work it is that the artists that I asked to be part of the school have a following themselves, and the experience, it gives an immersive experience for people to come along. So you get interested people. It's a unique experience from a teacher's point of view because they get to set the course curriculum. I don't impose anything on that. People get to get group classes, individual lessons with people they look up to or they want to learn from. And they learn during class time and they eat together and spend most of the day together. And there's so much you learn about art or an art form outside of the actual practice of it. And the day-to-day, really important day-to-day stuff and the business side of it as well. So it gives an opportunity to spend time with people that you're very interested in learning from, and it's open to any art form.
Yeah, yeah. The one thing, like me and Justin, from like me and being in Dingle, then is that, you know, this the coffee movement is it's fascinating to kind of track what's going on. Colin Harmon from 3FE is someone who's featured at Banter quite a lot, and we did a long interview with him earlier this year, and he was just kind of pointing out that like it's sensible. It's not illogical at all, the fact that we've kind of tapped into this coffee market. I'm kind of thinking that when tourists come to Dingle, when they already know about coffee, is being Dingle on their map? Is on the things places they want to go to?
I hope to think so. Yeah. Like what Colin Hammond has done and what he's achieved in the last 8 years is just incredible for Ireland and the coffee scene in general. Third wave coffee scene, it's just been an absolute explosion in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, with the World of Coffee Expo being held in Dublin in June just gone. You know, that's huge for Ireland and coffee. People, I think, are really now focused about coffee. They're really, like, I got really into it. It's not in a snobby way, but it's just like people know the tastes and different types of aromas that you can get from different types of coffees, from single origins to different types of blends to different types of roasteries from around Ireland. And you can see micro roasteries popping up all the time around Ireland, and it's phenomenal how fast it's moving. I suppose with the shop, we took that opportunity. I had worked in specialty coffee for about 8 years prior to opening. Being in Dingle, I had worked with Colin Harmon from a good few years ago, just a small amount of training with him. Worked close with Brock Lewin from Badger and Dodo, who's our supplier, and you know, they really look after you as well, which is the main thing. They have an amazing product which they want to make sure that who they give their product to is going to make an amazing coffee with it. So it's you know, it was a big risk because Brock took a big, you know, chance in us to say, okay, I'm giving you a private blend, you have to make it the best that you can possibly be, and I think we've done that, and I'm glad with it.
What's the profit margin on a cup of coffee like?
It's good. It's not too bad if you sell a lot of it, so yeah, it's not too bad. Yeah, it's good.
That's a good answer. We'll take that answer. So let's move now to kind of more general things for all three of you. You know, like starting with you, Shane. Like the advantages. You've talked a lot about the advantages of being somewhere like Dingle, and like, you know, but when you're here this weekend, you're kind of looking around and the place is magical and looks Christmassy, and everyone's walking around to all the little gift shops buying their stuff. You think, wow, this must be a great place to move to. But what are the disadvantages from your point of view, and like for all three of you, the disadvantages of setting up somewhere like here, how they can be addressed?
I think number one, our one of our main disadvantages is population. Okay, so Dingle, in its own in off peak season, has a population of about 2,000 people. Facilities our size that you'd find in Dublin and London and over in the States, even millions of people at your doorstep. So we have to be incredibly creative, kind of about what we do when you're trying to get people in the door. I mean, the cool thing is that, you know, you just want to train the Kerry footballers and the rugby players and the triathletes, but, you know, sometimes the bread and butter are your moms and dads, your kids after school. I mean, we have people up to 82 years old that come in to train. I mean, I definitely know 10 years ago people weren't doing that. Yeah. So we have to be very, very creative about what we do. Be different, I guess.
Right. So that's one. That's population then. Cormac, what are the disadvantages that you can see for being someone like here?
I'm actually finding it hard to think of a disadvantage because part of the beauty of having the course here is that it's in here in West Kerry, beautiful setting, scenery, Gaeltacht area, cultural area, music, singing, dancing, lots of traditions here, and people want to be here. The only thing I can think of is that some people, I've only heard one complain that they have to go, like someone's coming over from America, they have to go an extra 4 hours to get to West Kerry, but once they're here, they're happy.
So maybe what you need to do is need to do like Monsignor Horan did years ago and build an airport in Dingle, but not less far and four. Maybe that's something Philip King put in his to-do list, you know?
Yeah, right? Could happen. If it's in behind it, it could happen. All right.
So what about you, Justin? Then, from your point of view, like, what are there any disadvantages? You know, aside from population and maybe kind of like getting here.
I suppose with the shop itself, it was a little bit more like kind of an urban scene, so it might not have appealed to, you know, as the local traders. Essentially, maybe with tourists and stuff like that, it would appeal to people travelling down to Dingle, but it was difficult to get it up and running with locals. But as like Shane said, like the locals are the bread and butter, really, and I get groups from his running classes coming into the shop after they finish their running classes, and everybody's really supportive of everyone. It's a very much a community-driven area in Dingle, especially in the off-peak seasons. Everybody really wants to make sure that everybody, you know, strives to achieve and stuff like that and everything. Yeah.
Again, go, sorry, Cormac. Yeah.
I thought of something, actually. There's during the tour season, peak season, it's very hard to find accommodation. And my plans have been to, like, we can accommodate up to 20 people sharing at home in our house. And some other course, we've plans to run courses, maybe 4 or 5 in a given week in different art forms. But it's very hard in the peak season to find accommodation. And because everyone's sold out, everybody's doing Airbnb, so you're competing against lots of different things. So, and I guess the planners, Kerry County Councillor, are restricting locals around here from building houses west of here. So, I find it very hard for people my age to get housing here and to actually live here. So, I think that's a big obstacle.
What kind of restrictions are they putting in terms of new builds in Cormac?
I know 4 people in my parish that have applied for planning permission and to try and live here and to set up a business here, and they've been restricted. They can't build a house in their own land, family land, and they want to start a family here. They're being moved into Dingle, and that's going to have negative knock-on effects for the language, the culture, and I'd see that as a big thing that needs to be changed and addressed. And It's a power given to unelected officials inside in Kerry County Council that need to be
clipped.
I don't want to say. There's a few things I want to say, but I'll leave it at that.
All right. So, like, I mean, there's a kind of a wide range of issues that you've all kind of raised. Like, I mean, population, planning restrictions, kind of the culture as well. You know, like, none of you have kind of mentioned, because it's quite obvious that all of you have kind of like done what your business is under your own steam. Like, you know, I'm curious, was there any kind of like, I mean, interaction with the authorities? Was there any interaction with government agencies, employment agencies, any of that kind of palaver?
Well, again, I think when we, I'll be first person to put my hand up, when we were starting out, we had absolutely no clue what we were doing. We probably did everything wrong. We probably did a couple of things against law, but you know, it was market research, so I put that under. But you know, there's
like what? We're among friends here.
you know yourself, like, you know, there's
I don't know myself. I'm a law abiding lad from Tipperary.
You know, whenever a company starts, they're for the first 2 or 3 months they're probably a cash business, you know. And geez, we both actually had other jobs at the time,
that's not
locally
legal.
And I think we were pocketing all the cash, and we're like, Jesus, entrepreneur stuff is great. Like, you know, there's No, but we put it all back into, we actually ended up putting it all back into what were our business anyways, you know, so we maybe weren't as smart at the time, but.
So at what stage did you realise then you had to kind of like go legit and it had to kind of like me kind of supposed to stop doing that?
There was 2 days, I'll never forget it, one day after another, I quit my job and Mark quit his, and we said it's either emigrate, I was going to move to New York, Mark was going to move to Galway.
Hey, don't knock Galway.
Or make a go of it, you know. Deep down, I didn't really want to go, even though I'd said I wanted to go. I know Mark didn't want to go. At the time, Mark was playing football at a very, very high level. And he didn't really want to go either, but we felt like we were kind of left with no choice. But I suppose we just had to kind of suck it up a small bit and stop feeling sorry for ourselves and either take option A or option B. And luckily, we took option A, and we're still here. We haven't had to go yet. You know, we were very lucky. We got a lot of assistance from people locally. I don't think they're here, but you know, there's people that just gave us advice and tips along the way. People who've done it before.
Yeah. It was other business people as opposed to any particular agencies.
Yeah, and then obviously when we progressed on a little bit more, we got some help from the local enterprise office in I think they're in the county council office as well. They were fantastic. I know the guys are in the same competition. We got into competition Ireland's Missing Entrepreneur, and going in through things like that, you think you know everything about your own business, but you know that really opened my eyes to, I was like, you know, there's a lot of little loopholes here that we need to close, and it just makes you a little bit more savvy, I guess. But that was that's the only real interaction we've had with any major agency anyway. So
right, what about Ben Dingle, what have your interactions with agencies been like?
We never really
been in Dingle, sorry.
It's all right, it gets mixed up now and then, but it's fine. Ladies and Dingle, I suppose, yeah, it goes down well. We never really kind of sought out for any kind of agency at the very get-go. We kind of just went with it. We got a little bit of inheritance from my parents and stuff, so we said we'd go with it. Prior to opening the shop, it was supposed to be a coffee cart, really, but the struggles of opening a coffee cart, it was under a public trading in Kerry, and in Dingle there is actually... there's no public trading licenses available in Dingle at the moment. You could only really trade on a Friday in the farmer's market, or I think there's slight trading in the mat, which is just beside Lidl's up the top of the street there. And, you know, that was a bit of a... You do all this research and everything, and you spend months trying to figure out a plan, and then you go to the county council and then they say, nope, it's not going to happen. And you're like, you know, it's a bit of a, you know, kick in the balls, really, to be honest. But it was just so happened to be that premises came available. And I was like, to my parents, I was like, are you still willing to give us a shot, give us a chance? And they were like, yeah, definitely, 100%. And that's when we just went for it. It was really good. Luke didn't start with me, my brother, from the very get-go. It was just myself. But I can remember, like, on the first Saturday, he was like, after we ran out of coffee by 4 o'clock in the afternoon when we first opened, and he was like, I'm going to have to quit my job, aren't I? And I was like, yeah, you are. He was like, he had a job up in Dublin in IT, and he was just like, yep, I suppose I'm coming back to Dingle. He was like, he was excited about it, and I'm excited he's here, and he's doing an amazing job for me and for us, yeah, for together.
What about the art in Cormac? I mean, like, it would strike me that something like that would be something that should be on the radar of various arts organisations, arts funders.
I've gotten help from Slaton Kerry County Council there, but I got help from the Arts Office there. The Arts Council of Ireland, I've met with them a few times. They've been given lots of advice and spread information on their mailing list. So of IMRO, government organisations like Tourism Ireland have helped spread word abroad. Fault Ireland have helped as well. NUIG, I was a recipient of a Young Entrepreneur Award a couple of years ago, and as a result of that, I can get guidance from them. So I've gotten help from them, and Udrasna Gratha here, and I'm forgetting a few other things, but there is a lot of help. And Enterprise Ireland as well, actually, they help. There's like 50% for the website, so funding for that. So there is actually a lot of help in the business I'm running. And
do all three of you think that, I mean, that it's the case then that the help is there, but often like it's a signpost that's missing. It's knowing where to go.
I'd agree with that. not having a business background myself, I think it's just something inside me that I'm kind of wired to do what I'm doing, and I didn't really know where to look for or what to look for anything. I kind of had to ask other people, how do I do this? How do I do that? You know, and it makes me feel a little bit silly when you're starting out. But I guess you just, if you don't ask, you don't know. And you know, I still have no idea where to go for certain things that Cormac was on about there. You know, so like Cormac said, there is help out there, but it's just to find out where it is. You know.
I guess I'm kind of winging it. Like, I think everybody just wings it. Like, it's and you see these kind of brands, or you see these logos and other stuff that they're similar, that they got funded, and then you just ask questions. Yes.
Right. Okay. Last question for me then. You know, and it's something that I was thinking about earlier on. I was up at the Ireland's Edge conference, and Chris Cassan was talking about, like, last year there was a big move by the government. They were talking about, like, this. They launched a hashtag called "Bring Them Home," which, well, like, hashtags go, it wasn't really successful. You know, and it kind of strikes me that a lot of things that are being done to try and encourage people to kind of come home, or even people to start up their own businesses, even people to take their own initiative in places like Dingle, you know, that often they don't ask the right people, which are people like you. So if you were to encourage other people to kind of, I suppose, do what you've done, follow your passion, quit your job in IT and come back to Dingle and, like, mean, like, sell coffee, What would be, I suppose, the help and the kind of, like, the way you'd like to encourage people to do that? What would be kind of, like, the things you'd tell people, this is what you should do, or tell government what they should be saying to people in order to turn them into businesses?
I think, like, a big step is, like, as a young entrepreneur, it's like coming into Dingle, especially, is like a lot of proprietors are quite a bit older than this. They gave us such help and such, like, they, you know, they talked about us. This is, you've got to work hard, and, you know, you're going to have to basically spend a year just working nonstop. And, you know, it's just, if there was people coming back and had an idea, I was like, you know, go for it. You know, there's no point waiting. If you feel like there's a good idea, you're going to get so much help. The community is going to support you 100%, even if you're not from Dingle necessarily, or if you're, you know, somebody who wants to change something about Dingle and give something Dingle a bit more of something that would benefit, then I think, you know, just if you've got it, then go for it, and everybody will support you 100%. Like, definitely. Like, I can't be, you know, with the local support that we've got from day one, and I know Shane and everybody, like, it's phenomenal. Like, this town is brilliant when it comes to it.
Cormac?
My first reaction was that there's definitely an art course in it.
Yeah.
I should set up an art course and get people down for saying, but I think it's just...
I think that's true, though. I mean, like, you know, I know from kind of talking to other people, sometimes it's a case of, like, they need somewhere to go. They need someone to ask, you know? And it's not a case of even Googling it, or sometimes it's hard to ask other business people, well, how exactly can you do it? I can imagine you've no problem going, okay, there's funding there, how do you get it, you know? A lot of people mightn't have that skill.
Absolutely. I think encouraging people to go about setting up a business and just outlining the benefits of it. Like, I know you're kind of tied to it, and there's a lot of stress, and you're taking on the responsibility and taking the risks. But then the other side, there's so many benefits and freedom. Like, you're kind of in charge of your control of your own time, and there's lots of benefits. I think if they're outlined to people, and as Justin said about supports, even the government have, like, in the last 2 years, set up initiatives for entrepreneurs, and have really pushed that. And there's lots of funding out there and lots of awards for that. I know banks get it going over, but they've set up, like, spaces where you can. You don't need to have to rent a space. No, like, in the cities, you got an office space for free, internet, and you can use their meeting rooms, stuff like that. So there's lots of really positive things done over the last couple of years to encourage people to do it. And we are, as a nation, I think, very creative. Lots of the talk in the last 2 days down at the conference in the Skellig kind of highlighted that. And yeah, so we're great.
last word to you, Shane.
I guess it's gonna be hard to back that up now. We are great, by the way. But again, I was in a very, very similar case to to Justin. I suppose our industry is a little bit different. We had to go out and we had to see the guys who were the most successful in our industry and travel all over the country and travel to America to see, you know, how do they make it work. And again, the one massive difference we saw that, you know, they've got millions of people at their door and it's just like a factory. They just roll them through. And that wasn't really the way we wanted to do things. We wanted to make it a little bit more personal. So it's kind of very much so a place you can come. If you don't want to work out, you can have a chat. And I bet you after the chat, I'll have you convinced to do a workout, like, you know. So, you know, again, we kind of want, like Justin said, that the support we got from the community from day one was absolutely phenomenal. I think we kind of brought something to town that wasn't here. You know, we gave people something to be a part of. I think that's something important. We see it every day that a lot of people just want to be a part of something. I mean, even if anybody, by the way, you should go into Bean and Dingle if you're here for the weekend. If you go into Bean and Dingle, like it's cool to be in there. Do you know what I mean? It's like you want to be part of it. You want to have a bean. You want to be walking down Green Street with a Bean and Dingle cup. You know what I mean? Because you see other people walking down. That's kind of, it's very similar. You cross over the two. You know, so we help people be a part of something, make people feel good about themselves, whether you're 14 and in school and you're a bit just self-conscious, or you're 82 and you have a small bit of pain in your lower back. We want to be able to help you out, like, you know. So it's all positive for us, same as Cormac there. The advantages far outweigh the negatives. And there are some sleepless nights wondering, geez, I hope I don't get that bill tomorrow and this bill tomorrow. But I guess at the end of the day, it's all part of it. And same as lads, I don't get to chat to lads enough, but it's very clear that the three of us all absolutely love what we do and very, very grateful to have somewhere like Dingle to do it.
Cool. Excellent stuff. Thank you very much. Big round of applause to the three. Thanks to Justin, Shane and Cormac for coming along and joining us at Banter at Other Voices. Thanks to Banter at Other Voices producer Molly King and Salman and Stephen Antricotti and all of Foxy Johns and Other Voices for their hospitality and help. The Bantercast series producer is Tanya White. Check out thisisbanter.com for news we're up to at Banter. Plus, you can also listen back to all the Banter podcasts to date. We'll be back next week with another podcast. Until then, goodbye and take care.